Hey, Savannah, let's go live and talk to some people. Everybody out there, just as we dress differently for a job interview, a weekend outing, or a black tie event to reflect different facets of ourselves, my guest today uses her attire to express a complex, multifaceted identity that society often misunderstands. Savannah Hawk is a non-binary, non-transitioning individual who identifies as a cross-dresser. For Savannah, clothing isn't just fabric. It's an integral part of how she connects with her internal sense of self, just like a business suit might make one feel more professional. Today, we're delving into the world of cross-dressing. Savannah is an LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, author of Living with Cross-Dressing, and co-host of the Fox and Phoenix podcast. We'll challenge stereotypes and discover the beauty of living authentically. So prepare to challenge your preconceptions and broaden your understanding of a topic that many have opinions about, but few truly understand. I think we're going to dig into it. We're going to have fun, and here we go. I was just dancing there. Welcome back, everybody, to A Funny Way of Looking, where diverse voices meet open minds. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday live. You can catch us on afunnywayoflooking.com. And for everyone who's on the podcast, we're on all of your favorite podcast channels. Savannah, how are you doing today?
I also was dancing during that little clip. I wanted more. I wanted more of it, and then you like just came right back. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today. I decided, you know what? I'm going to take the whole day off and spend it with you.
There we go. I love that. So we are going to make this fun, fun, fun. Who do you want to do a shout out to? That's the hardest question of the day.
Well, you know, since you gave me a little bit of prep, I will say that the person and people I want to shout out to is all those people that I hope my story can connect with. Because as you said in your intro, there's so much misinformation. It's so misunderstood. And people who are living it even struggle. So I want to shout out to all of them to maybe they can resonate with something I say and just be more authentic and truthful and honest and better.
Awesome. I love that shout out. Let's dive right into it. Question. You identify as a dual gender individual, and you're also cross-dressing. Let's get those two terms up front so that understands dual gender and cross-dressing. Hit it.
All right. Ooh, I'm not ready. When I came to terms with who I am, and that was in the 90s, even though I've been dressing or attracted to dressing since I was six. It was, the word transvestite, then cross-dressing, that became the word that made most sense to what I was doing, which was dressing. So if I'm dressing and, across, vestments and cross-dressing, those seem obvious choices for who I am. The problem is, from the 90s to like 10 years ago, that's what I thought my identity was. I thought my identity was a cross-dresser. Like if your identity and presentation is cross-dresser, and that's not true. In reality, I am dual gender because that is my gender identity. Mm-hmm. So with that, cross-dressing is how I do it. It's like to go from my biological male self to Savannah that you see today, it is cross-dressing, the act of cross-dressing that gets me between point A and point B from male to female. And the reason why I cross-dress is because I am dual gender.
Okay. And when you are not dressed as Savannah, do you change your gender then? And when do you decide which gender, or how do you answer forms like your the U.S. citizen form? We have to put down, we are this gender, we are this race. What do you put down?
Well, I will tell you, for any census material, which I'm doing in a little bit, it'd be male, biologically male. That's, I put the M. The M is on my driver's license. I have no interest in making it F. When I do medical intakes, I put non-binary because I think that's more important to have that cross-section, if you will, of understanding the people you are having your healthcare service. But for me, I am predominantly male. I spend 85% of my life in male mode. as Chuck. I am living, breathing, relationship, career, other projects that we've talked about off air. Those all happen under the guise of Chuck. And the decision or the time or the scheduling of Savannah is just, you know, when I need it, when it's when I need that outlet. I have a pretty much a routine, like weekly, to don who I am and be Savannah. So I get that feminine energy as an outlet on these occasions that I've already have kind of predetermined through the week, so that I'm not like sitting there for 6 months like an addict, like you know, depressed, and like my body is shutting down, and I'm in a bad mood because I can't express this part of myself. So for me, it's very important to have a regimen.
I resonated with the intro myself, because it used to be you know, going to work and having to put on the suit. I was like, that is not me, and I want to be me when I go to work, and I don't want to have to pretend like I am, you know, this other person. And you get to be that, but you figured out who you are and what you want to be. You started as a child. What was the, how did it come out? How did you resonate?
It was, you know, it's weird because memory is a fickle thing, especially when you try to look back on it years and years and years later. But I found myself realizing I had an attraction for the feminine, because my mom would, you know, put all the clothes on the bed after laundry, get them all folded up, and seeing my sister, how she dressed, seeing my mom, how she dressed, there was like an affinity to me that I wanted to wear that. I wanted to be dressed the way they were dressed. And I grew up in a nuclear home. Like, I didn't have a father figure to tell me what a boy should do. I had neighbors and neighbor kids. And so there wasn't like I was living in like this very feminine commune where it's like, oh, I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing. No, I had all sides represented. And I just, I mean, I knew I was supposed to be dressing like other boys dressed, but I also loved what the women were and the girls were wearing. And I wanted to explore that. And that was kind of the first inkling of like wanting to try those things out, wanting to be a part of that world. Just like kids you hear that talk about, parents would talk about, oh yeah, my little boy Johnny, he put on my heels and was clicking around the house, and oh, he was so cute and funny. And it was like that. But for me, it wasn't just like I wanted to hear the noise of the heels on the hardwood. It was me like experiencing that and knowing there was more to it.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the interesting things that you and I have talked about was you were in New York before. And in New York, you can pretty much be anything that you want to be, and there are not repercussions. But then you had to move. And yes. Tell me that again, because that just fascinates me. And I love the way that you embraced it and how everything turned out. So let me hear that story again.
Yeah, I grew up in the Midwest. So I spent my first like 20-some years in the Midwest and in Detroit. Moved to New York for business and for a career with my wife at the time. And yeah, you're right. We go to New York and all of a sudden there's like drag queens and going to Lucky Chang's and seeing men and women holding hands together and like realizing there was a whole world outside of this conservative, traditional Midwest upbringing. So yeah, that was when it took me a while though. It took me a couple of years to really step up and own my own identity in that way. Cause obviously you're trying to shed 20 some years of how you were brought up. And as a result, you know, that's where Savannah was born. Savannah, the name, Savannah, the head-to-toe presentation was born in the you know, the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And unfortunately, 25 years later, and I had ups and downs, don't get me wrong. I mean, in the closet, came out of the closet, get into a new relationship, fall back into the closet. Just a roller coaster. I really was never so super confident in myself, because a lot of it was about being validated from others. And as a result, I just kept finding myself just being pushed and pulled. And finally, right before I left New York is when I really stepped out and said, no, this is me. This is what I'm going to be. I'm not in the closet. And then ended up moving to South Carolina. So that was a reason for business. I had to move to South Carolina because my job offered me the opportunity to move at my same pay, same job. I wouldn't have to go looking for a new job. It was already kind of just a lateral move. And Here I am in the upstate of South Carolina, a very red state, a state where you can go down the expressway highway and see a Confederate flag, very Baptist, very traditional, very conservative, lots of guns. And I was terrified. I was terrified those first 6 months to even leave the house because I didn't know how I would be treated because I'm in the South and I know how people in the South are. The problem is how I think people would think of me was how I was thinking about them. In that I was really ignorant and stereotypical of what I thought people in the South would be like. And as a result, I realized, oh, every person I have met has been amazing. They've been gracious. They've been kind. I am not going off into the middle of nowhere. Like, hey, let me go to a biker bar at 3 a.m. when they're just about ready to close and everybody's drunk. No, I'm not doing that. But I'm just going out into the world, going to Starbucks, going to the store, going to Lowe's, going just for a drive and seeing people. And people have either been, absorbed in their own lives more so than caring about what I'm doing. And I carry myself in a way that I'm not trying to bring overt attention to myself. So that way, also, it's easy for people to just overlook me and just see me as part of the fabric of the people out and about.
And you were you hesitant at first or just more aware at first when you were in South Carolina and decided you're going to present as Savannah?
I was terrified. I mean, that's three words, terrified. I did not dress. I did not even figure out a way to go out. It took months for me because we did a search. My girlfriend and I did a search of where could I go? Where was a safe place? Where are people like me? And I couldn't find the people like me specifically. So I ended up finding just a larger meetup group, from the meetup app that was just LGBTQ friendly. And I reached out and they said, sure, come, and join us. And even though I was the only quote unquote cross-dresser, they open-armed accepted me. And we would go every month. And then I met up with people at PFLAG and other local groups. So yeah, I was just able to finally find my tribe in a different way, in a more expanded way. But that allowed me also to really regain that confidence to be able to go out knowing that these people live and breathe their lives in the upstate. And if they can do it, I certainly should be able to do it.
Awesome. I'm going to go back 30 seconds. And I know that this caught some people's attention. You said me and my girlfriend. And how did your girlfriend take the I guess you had to come out to her also. How does she deal with the cross-dressing?
I told her as soon as we got serious. So this is 9 years ago now. She was not part of this world. She didn't understand that people would dress as a female just because they want to dress as a female. For her, it was like all the stuff we see on TV and in movies, like, oh, I have to dress because I need a job in Tootsie. I need to see my kids and Miss Doubtfire. All these things that like you just assume based on everything you see in media. And as a result, she didn't understand that like a man might want to wear women's clothing just to wear women's clothing and experience that and exhibit that energy. So it's taken a long time. I mean, we still go through stuff and we still sees me come down the stairs once in a while and it's kind of like taken back by her man being dressed as Savannah. So it's ongoing. It's a conversation, it's evolution. And, again, we've been together 9 years and she's very proud of the work I do and the people I help. So it's all good.
So let me ask you this. Would it be easier to get people to understand how you're dressing if instead of said, I'm dressing as a woman, instead you just said, today I want to put on a skirt. I want to be like the Romans back in the day. And we all wore skirts because when we go to war, it's easier to jump on the horse or something. I don't know. what is it that would make people understand? It's like, are you actually dressing as a woman or are you just wearing the clothes because you like the clothing?
More the first, but using the second. So there is an aspect to my personality and to the, my nervous system and how I see myself that requires a presentation in a female centric garb and attire and clothing and the hair and the makeup and the dress that allows that essence of me to come forward in a way that's presented appropriately to what I'm trying to exhibit. So because of that, it allows me to, you know, donning the clothes allows me to expend the energy in that feminine spirit that I need. Otherwise, I'll just, you know, go into a slow spiral of depression. If I, you know, I've had times in my life where I couldn't dress for months, and it affects me. It affects me on a daily basis. It affects my demeanor. It affects my outlook. It affects my positivity and how I see myself and other people. This is not just something that it's I do it because it's a lark. I do it because it's a hobby. I do it because there is a core part of me that requires this. And this is how I personally manifest that for myself and out to the world.
I love that. And when, I don't know if you just tell people, I am a crossdresser, you know, what does it feel like when you go from your male counterpart to the female counterpart of Savannah? Does your mindset change? Does anything about you change? Or are you still the same person?
A little of all that. I mean, intellectually, I'm the same person. I'm going to have the same conversation with you as Savannah or as Chuck. That's not going to change. My intellect, my empathy, my sympathy, compassion, those all remain the same. The things that do change are those things are a direct result of the stereotypes of a man versus a woman. I can do things as Savannah that are softer. I can be more tactile with people. You know, think about any interaction you've had with men and women. You're not seeing men really touch each other like in a compassionate, friendly, platonic way, whereas women can have that closer tactile bond. So this allows me to kind of feel the femininity, and then, you know, my posture may improve as well. And also, you know, just having a conversation and being able to have a different type of interaction physically with people because it's more allowed. Because we've all grown up knowing it's like, oh, you know, like Sex in the City. Right. They're all hand in hand, walking down the street, having, you know, going to brunch, and they're very touchy feely, you know, unless a guy is accused of having a bromance. Guys don't typically do that unless they're slapping each other on the ass and high fiving and, you know, because there's a sports event on and somebody just scored. So there are those things that I am allowed because of my presentation.
How do you deal with, and I have to believe that on social, that there are negative comments. How do you deal with that? Because I have friends that are trans and LGBTQ, and they get negative comments all the time. How do you deal with negativity?
Honestly, I will give one example. When I did my first TED, I was very excited. My co-host from the podcast told me he had launched. I hadn't noticed. I didn't know it was up and running. And it was just a litany of just comments, pro and con, mostly con. And so they were talking about, like, oh, look, that guy's pregnant. Hey, you know, that's a man in a dress, right? Like, oh, they're mentally ill, which was ironic because half of what I spoke about in the TEDx was those things they were trying to say to me, that they were accusing me of being mentally, you know, ill, having a fetish. All the things they were saying to me were things I knew they were going to say about me. So being prepared to understand how people may see me helps. It helps me to rise above it because it's just their misunderstanding of who I am. And they don't know me as a person. They only know what they think they know of us as this class system of misfits. And also, you have to have empathy for people. And as misunderstood as people, misunderstanding, as much misunderstanding, misinformation they may have about me or about people like me, it is, they think they know best based on what they've been told or what they've been taught or what they've learned. So I don't hold that against them. I think I would love to think that people can evolve. And if you and I are having this conversation and somebody comes on who would have that opinion, that maybe they could think differently or ponder it for a moment. And that's all I can hope for. Otherwise, it's honestly, it's not my job to get them to like me or change their mind about me. It is really my job to just live the best life and example I can, so that if they do come across me at Walmart or at Starbucks or at Home Depot, that they can just see me and realize that I'm just another person in the world trying to get that plumbing fitting that they're looking for too.
You know, talk about first impressions, because sometimes people will meet you as male, sometimes they'll meet you as female, and then do the two cross. In other words, the same person meet you as the other person. How does that work? Like, do you have a different first impression as Chuck versus Savannah, or Savannah versus Chuck?
It comes the gamut, because as Chuck, especially with people in my office, people I've known for 20 some years, I will eventually share with them Savannah sometimes, depending on how close we are. And that's, you know, they knew Chuck, and all of a sudden there's this like new shiny thing that's very, you know, they may want to ask questions about.
Right.
And they're interested and fascinated. And then you have other people who've only met Savannah and don't even recognize me if I'm in the same peer group dressed as Chuck. Like, they will say, I don't know who that person is. And they have no idea that I'm actually Savannah, because they've never seen me in guy modes. And then there are the other people who, like at Starbucks, I go to Starbucks and I got the same drink, and people know me as both Chuck and as Savannah, and they love me equally. They don't, you know, they get my order, they're like, oh, Chuck, and I come up as Savannah, and they know it's me. And I think for me, I like that, because it shows, especially with youth, that you can be something other than just what's expected of you. And with Starbucks, they do have a tendency to have more LGBTQ friendly people working there as baristas. And I want to also be an example that say, you know, they are 16 years old, looking forward and seeing how the world is. I want to show that, like, you know, you can be me and be very productive and have positive life and experience. And hopefully I can be an example for them that, you know, everything is going to be okay. So
that's awesome. So if you could speak directly to somebody who's, I guess, let's say, struggling with their own gender identity, like, what would you say to them?
Oof. Depends on how they're struggling. That's like such a loaded question. I will say the things I say to everybody: you have to educate yourself. That's the most important thing you can do. It's the most imperative thing you can do, because if you educate yourself with what is out there, and then you can use that to assess who you are. And it is deep, and it can get dark, and it can get messy, but self-assessment can only happen if you're honest with who you are, and being loaded and having available the ammunition of, like, all the terms. What do all the gender terms mean? How do they fit you? What stories have you heard that resonate with you? You know, read books that are, you know, about gender specifically, or about one person's journey as a memoir. Start reading and learning, and like taking away things that make sense to you, and that will get you closer to your truth. And it may be a lot of work. It may be denial that you're fighting against. It may be indoctrination you're fighting against. It may be shame and fear of rejection you're fighting against. There's so many things that are stacked that can keep you from learning more about you. But I believe at the end of the day, it is really a worthwhile journey.
Okay. I got one more question about this, and then we're going to play a game.
Okay.
You're on stage in Sao Paulo. You've got the 200,000 seat auditorium. It's you on stage, and you've got people in the audience that is, when you talk to them in this microphone, they are going to believe what you say, and they're going to adopt what you say. I guess you'll be there, and you'll be talking about cross-dressing. What do you want people to understand? Like, what do you want them to walk away with if you had that microphone and that audience on that stage?
Whew. First of all, that's too much power. Way too much power for me. I don't know if I can handle that kind of power, because with great power comes great responsibility.
I'm giving you that power.
I would honestly say the same thing we've been saying, is that I want people to hear my story and know that it could resonate with them in some way, so they can help find their own truth. Because at the end of the day, what is truth for me? The truth is that I live this life confidently, and I do it mindfully, and I do it with respect for myself and respect for others around me. And so to know that somebody like me can live in the world and thrive and prosper, I think I want that to be the takeaway, so that they can say, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it in some fashion that's, I don't know, strongest to my heart. So I would love that to be a takeaway, that people can, like, be inspired and be like, you know what, I'm going to soul search. I'm going to find out who the best version of myself is.
Awesome. Savannah Hawk, I want to play a game with you. We've been talking about cross-dressing, and we are going to play a game of this or that. I'm going to give you two options. You can choose one or the other, not neither or both. Okay. And if you, anytime you want to explain your answer, that is what the show is about. So let's jump in. We'll start with some easy questions. They'll get harder as we go, and eventually we'll end up thought-provoking. So easy question, heels or flats?
Heels.
All right. Skirts or dresses?
If I have to choose one, I'm going to say dresses.
Okay. Why dresses?
Well, I mean, you get more to it. I mean, a skirt is a skirt is a skirt. I mean, yeah, there's lots of ways you can wear a skirt. I like the body contouring of a skirt. But if I only had to pick one,
yes,
you could get that same feeling of a bodycon dress too. So if I had to eliminate one, like you only can have fried chicken or you only can have burgers, I'm going to have to go with the dress because I think I could still get skirtish things out of it.
Who's your favorite designer, by the way?
Calvin Klein, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Daytime outing or nighttime adventure?
Well, I'm getting old and, you know, I need to get in bed earlier. So daytime outing, I think, is more my speed these days.
Yeah. If you had to pick a fashion era, 90s grunge or 50s glamour?
50s glamour.
Really?
Okay. Yes. I was already like in college and like, you know, trying to be an upright citizen in the 90s. So I didn't have time for the grunge era.
Okay. Public outings. You got coffee shops or clubs?
Coffee shop.
Okay. Social media, Instagram or Twitter threads?
Instagram. And only because I've tried Twitter. And I just, it wasn't my method of conversing. Obviously it's now X, but I couldn't get on board. So Instagram is more visual. I'm more creative. I like being more visual. So for me, that's my jam.
Gotcha. When you go shopping, online store or in store?
Michael, you're killing me here. you're forcing me to pick one. I think I would prefer in store.
Okay.
I mean, I do shop more online and it's more, you know, it gives you more efficiency, but I do like feeling things. I do like trying them on. So if I had to pick one, I would choose in store.
Awesome. Beauty routine. You like DIY or would you do professional makeovers?
Well, not all of us can afford makeovers. I'm not like some star that's in my trailer with my entourage of people fiddling with my face. I do. If I could, I would have somebody do a makeover on me all the time. just because I would love to see what they would do with this face. It's like, yeah. I know what I do with this face, but I would love to get somebody super creative to just, you know, make it completely different. So I'm going to go makeover.
I think we lost your audio. You've gone no audio anymore.
No, you can't hear me?
Yeah.
Hello.
I can hear you like you're talking like 50 feet away. Oh, maybe my mic is unplugged there.
Yeah, my mic is right here. I'm plugged in.
There, now you're back to normal. I don't know
what happened. Okay. Whew. I don't know. But to answer that question, makeover.
Got you. Right? I mean, if you can afford it, let's do the makeover.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So when you're getting ready to go out, spontaneous or meticulously planned?
You're leaving no room in the middle. Knowing the way I am, meticulously planned.
Okay. And where do you like to go just hang out and have fun, Savannah?
Honestly, you know, if you look at any of my socials, every once in a while, you'll see a hashtag Savannah Starbucks Sunday. Pretty much says it all. Probably where I'm going to go after this, since I am all dialed up, maybe I'll go get a coffee. It's Starbucks. I love going to a coffee house. I love the energy of a coffee house. It's kind of, it's transitory, but it's, you know, it's got a little bit of heightened, you know, energy to it. People are talking, there's the din, but it's not like overtly loud and you can't hear people. And it's typically a creative space. And as a creative, I love being in a creative space.
Gotcha. So reaction to stairs, ignore or confront?
A reaction to stairs. Oh, I thought you meant like, yeah, like walking upstairs. I'm like, I'm right. Like, yeah, I go up the elevator. Okay. Me and heels, we use the elevator. Yes. Reaction to stairs. You know, what was the first one? I got confront. Was it avoid or ignore. Confront? Is that
ignore. Ignore or confront?
Honestly, I'm going to go with confront, but with a caveat, which is if people are staring at you and you basically make eye contact back, all you do is smile at them. And that's if that's going to be how I confront people, by just engaging with eye contact and a smile, a pleasant smile, then that's my confrontation.
Okay. How about I don't want to go way off track yet. If identity discussions, how about one-on-one or public forums? Which do you like better?
Because you typically people are more apt to ask you things that they might not ask in a group setting. They can be a little more, you know, honest with themselves about what they want to know. And also, you know, you can engage so much better. It's like if I'm on stage or if I'm in a group talking to a bunch of people, my words can engage, but my person may not engage as much. Okay. So I love that one-on-one interaction.
Cool. Pronouns, fixed or fluid?
Fixed. And by fixed, if I'm dressed as Chuck, I'm he. If I'm dressed as Savannah, I'm she. And there's no they's in between.
Gotcha. support groups, gender specific or inclusive of all identities?
Inclusive. I can't tell you how limiting it is for us as people, whether we're in a community, under the umbrella, in society, where we always want to align ourselves strictly with the people that we're trying to align ourselves with. And by doing that, I think we lose so much flavor and just like the capacity for more by being more inclusive.
Okay. If you could change one law, let's say related to cross-dressing, would it be a local law or federal law?
Well, I think based on everything we've seen in the last 3 years with the hundreds upon hundreds of laws and bills and things in committee trying to, you know, exclude us or marginalize us, I'd have to be federal. I'd have to say that.
Gotcha. Let's say somebody wants to come out as a cross-dresser. Would you suggest gradual process or one-time revelation?
Oh, that's loaded because there's no such thing as a one-time. You're not going to get up on stage and say, I'm this, and that's it. It's never going to be one and done. So I'm going to have to go gradual, even if every one of those feels like a grandstand every time you do a reveal, and it feels like, oh, my God, this is the most awkward, crazy thing I'm doing. It happens so often for every person you have to come out to. So it is going to be gradual, but it's going to feel like it's this massive, you know, under the hot lights, you know, exhibit.
What would you say the steps are? Like if somebody's going to come out as a cross-dresser, what are the steps that you would suggest?
There's lots of things you could do. For me, it is about, as somebody like me, we tend to spend a lot of our subconscious like recognizing the threats in people. And so for me, I always wait to get that gut feeling of this is the right person to share with. So for me, I have the luxury of like picking and choosing the people I reveal myself to, because people know me as Chuck and would never know Savannah exists. Even now, my parents never knew, you know, for the entire life. My dad just passed away and he never knew Savannah has done the things she has done. So for me, knowing the audience, being prepared that they may reject you. So being prepared of like their reaction and being understanding that just because you love yourself doesn't mean they should or have to or do. And just be confident in who you are, because the more confident you are about who you are as a person, then the more you exude that confidence to somebody asking you hard questions.
Gotcha. I love that. I think that probably applies to people in all kinds of things, you know?
Yes. Just
know who you are, love yourself, and then you got to take the, you don't have to take the brunt of their approval or disapproval, but you need to be in it yourself.
Yeah. Yes. So true.
Last one. As far as labels, helpful descriptors, or are they limiting boxes?
You know, I don't like this game anymore. Because they're both. Because they're both. But for me, on a personal level, and I've just had this conversation, which is amazing that we're talking about it. For me to know my labels and to always be in pursuit of that next label that makes more sense to me, or I can use in tandem with something else, is so important, because that's the only way we are built to categorize things. And if we can't use language to define and describe who we are, we're going to just be, you know, spitting into the wind with not really a way to convey who we are as a people. But yet, conversely, labels tend to put us into very stringent stereotype boxes,
right?
Which is from the outside perspective. People do that to you because they think they understand what a label means. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what they think the label means. It's only important what you believe and understand the label to mean for you. So I'm going to go with they are important would be my answer.
Okay. Well, that is some good answers, and I think we learned even more about Savannah. Thank you so much. I want people who want to stay in touch with you, let's give them some ways to do that. You've got your website, livingwithcrossdressing.com. And you, of course, are on Facebook at Savannah.Hawk. And for everyone that's listening instead of watching, it is Savannah, SavannahHawk, HAUK. And then, of course, you're over on LinkedIn, Savannah-Hawk- I don't know what the 619-422-191. So one day you'll have to change that to just Savannah Hawk.
I'm sure I have to do like the premium package to like shorten it up and make it nice.
Right, exactly. And you're over on, you've got your YouTube channel, SavannahHawk3359. And you're on Instagram at SavannahHawk, H-A-U-K, SavannahHawk. Thank you so much for being on. This has been like an amazing conversation. And I love that you're able to express yourself. And I want other people to express themselves, whether it's cross-dressing or if it's like they want to be artists, but they're afraid to show their art. Because it's kind of, you know, it's something that you need to do. So
really thank you
for that. All right. Everybody, you can catch us over on afunnywayoflooking.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube at A Funny Way of Looking. We're just A Funny Way of Looking, and open-mindedness is all that we are about. Do subscribe to our newsletter over at afunnywayoflooking.news, N-E-W-S, and you'll find we're going to actually have Savannah on our newsletter probably in a week or two. We'll have Savannah on the newsletter, on the website. Be able to watch the repeats and everything. Thank you so much. And I guess we'll check everybody in the future. Thank you for showing up. Bye, everybody.
Bye.